your faces. Amen. I really got a blessing on the way over here tonight. I was driving down the road, and I'm nervous tonight. Amen. I'm bad nervous tonight. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I don't understand how this nervousness sometimes. I pray it never goes away, but it does get tiresome sometimes. Amen. And she said, preacher, you got to go back to Bethel. And you know, this is where it all started, Brother BJ, at Bethel. And I got a blessing because I preached a message a few months ago, back to Bethel, amen. And I said, well, my wife's been listening to me preach, so she may not listen to me when I talk at home, but she's been listening when I preach. I want to share with you tonight that we have come for revival, and in Nehemiah chapter 9, and the pastor can't bring, preacher can't bring revival, your pastor can't bring revival, but we can lead you in revival, amen. And I want to tell you tonight, if you're not saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you're not ready for revival, amen. But you just said in a song service that'll get you ready for revival, amen. And let me just share the song service with you before I even get started preaching, Brother BJ. I just heard a young lady sing, I'd rather have Jesus than anything I know, amen. I want you to know, I know that firsthand, amen. I'd rather have Jesus than anything that I know. Why had I rather have Jesus? Because I remember a day when I was shackled by a heavy burden, amen. I was shackled by a burden that I couldn't get rid of, amen. But I want you to know that one night Jesus came and he set me free, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And I want you to know that after he set me free, I found out that he is the God who stays, amen. I want you to know tonight, if you ain't listening in the song service, you're missing the Word of God, amen. Now, and after we sung that, we sung, God is still God. The God on the mountain is the God in the valley, amen. I want you to know, if you come get Jesus, it ain't all going to be roses and ponytails, amen. Ponytails and lollipops, ever how you want to say it, amen. Ain't going to be some tough days. But he won't never forsake you. He won't never leave you. And you'll always have a friend. I thought about a friend a while ago as that young lady was singing that song, Sister Judy. Amen. Brother Jerry Norris was the last person I heard sing that song right here at Union Chapel Baptist Church. Several years ago, we had a building right over here. Some of you remember it, some of you don't. We was in there one night, and the Holy Spirit of God started tugging on my heart. He said, when you going to give? When you going to give? When you going to go and preach my word? I said, well, I'm ready now. So I went up, and me and my wife, we come up before the church, and we surrendered to the ministry together. Amen. I didn't want to leave here. I ain't going to fall, Brother Moran. I promise the Lord ain't going to let me fall. And a few weeks later, I think it was, Brother Daniel Gaddis surrendered to the ministry. And I was going into that ordination room that night. Brother Scott Stokes had came. Some of you know Brother Scott. Brother Scott came and he told me, he put his hand on my shoulder. And he said, Brother Ricky, I heard some good news about you. I said, yes, sir. I said, I finally surrendered. He said, well, where are you going? I said, where am I going? I said, I ain't going nowhere. I said, the Lord didn't call me to pastor. He called me to preach. Amen. He said, well, I'm going to be praying for you. And within a month, I got a call to go pastor a church. I'm going to tell you what happened. See, I was in a revival. I'd been in revival for some time. I'd seen my kids act like their daddy. Amen. Act crazy. But say, when I started having revival, I started seeing revival break out in my family. And I want to share with you tonight, you're probably sitting here tonight thinking, our nation needs revival, amen? If I was to ask for a show of hands, I'm not going to do that, amen? But if I were to ask for a show of hands tonight, how many of you believe that our nation needs revival? Every hand in here would probably go up. If I were to ask, how many people believe that our church needs revival? Probably every hand in the church would go up, amen? If I said, how many people believe that we need revival in our families, probably every hand in here would go up. But if we said, how many people believe that you need revival in your life, they wouldn't be as many hands going up, amen? But I want you to know tonight that until we have revival personally, amen, we'll never have revival corporately, amen. I want you to know tonight that I'm fixing to give you a recipe for corporate revival, amen. As I began to think on this in Nehemiah chapter 9, and let me go ahead and read the scripture before I start preaching, amen. It says in chapter 9, verse 1, it says, now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and with earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all the strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you again tonight. Father, we just want to thank you. Father, we want to tell you that we love you tonight, Father. Father, I thank you for the reading of your holy word, Father. Father, I thank you for the examples that you've set before me in my life, Father. But Father, most of all, I thank you for your word that lays before me tonight, Father. Father, I pray that you put it in my heart tonight, Father. Father, I pray that we leave from this place forever changed tonight, Father. And Father, I pray this night, Father, that if I do any good thing, that I give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, Father. Father, I thank you tonight for every prayer that's been sent up for this revival. Father, I thank you tonight for every heart represented here. Father, I thank you for the ones that are at home tonight praying. I thank you for the ones at home tonight that thought enough of us to stay homesick.
Yes.
I thank you tonight, Father, for all things.
Yes.
And Father, I just ask you now to use me in a mighty way. And Father, I pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 2, the scripture says, and Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of the men and the women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. The first day of the seventh month. And then we get to Nehemiah chapter 9. It's the 24th day of this month. Same month. 24 days they've been standing before the reading of the law of God. Can you imagine in our day and time if we said we're going to meet for 24 days? As I began to think about this, Nehemiah was a great leader. Nehemiah was a great leader because Nehemiah had great help. His help come from the Lord. And then when he seen, when his help come from the Lord, and he surrounded himself with people that were eager to do the things of God. Nehemiah and the people, they had labored tirelessly. They had rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem in 52 days. What a great work they had done. We look in chapters 8 and 10. We begin to see they are devoted to the spiritual renewal within Jerusalem. Our text tonight, it may be short, but revival, a genuine revival taking place in the lives of God's people, I think we would agree that we are in desperate need of revival. But I think a lot of people don't have revival because they don't know the recipe. Most of y'all know we lost a brother last week. And I heard something. It really, really struck a chord with me, Brother Kevin. We were down there, and he was the one that cooked our dressing for Thanksgiving. And his dressing, man, it was good. I'm telling you, yes, it was good. Very good. And I heard somebody say, I hope we can get his recipe for that dressing. Several months ago, me and my wife were talking. And one of the last meals, I'm going to preach, brother, I promise you. One of the last meals that me and my wife ever had with my mom passed in 2008. One of the last meals we ever had was a New Year's Day meal. So y'all just think right now, y'all know what it is. But it was strange. Black-eyed peas and meatballs and spaghetti. And her meatballs and spaghetti was awesome. Well, my wife said, I would love to have some of your mama's meatballs and spaghetti. And I said, well, just let me fix you some. Uh-huh, yeah. I went in there and I done the best I could. And it wasn't good enough, amen? She said, Ricky, I don't know what you done different, but these ain't like your mama's. I said, okay. I thought, well, she'll eat them anyway, you know. Boy, I was wrong. She throwed them things out. Yeah. So I texted my brother Kenny. I said, Kenny, I said, got a question. He said, okay. I said, do you have mama's recipe for meatballs and spaghetti? He said, I do. I said, can I get it? He said, you can. I got that thing. I got that recipe. Now, Brother Ricky ain't no cook. I do a lot of things. Cooking and cleaning ain't one of them. Amen. Must be But I went in that kitchen and I took them meat, but I took that meat and I put it in that bowl and I diced that or chopped that onion up. Chopped that onion up and put it in there. And I put the egg in there. I put the cracker crumbs in there. I put all this in there and I put them in the oven. I baked them just like that recipe said. And my wife, when she got that first bite, she was kind of just a little shaky going to her mouth with that fork. And after she took that first bite, she said, oh, my goodness. She said, Ricky, these are fantastic. But see, I had a recipe. And I went strictly by it. A few months later, I was going to make some more. Well, see, my mama done things the hard way. She'd cut that onion up. She'd take that knife and she'd put it on across the top of it and then she'd slice it off and it'd just be a bunch of little onions. My wife's got one of them chopper things. I thought, man, that'd make it so much easier. It just completely ruins the meatballs. See, there ain't one way to fix my mama's meatballs and spaghetti.
Come on.
And there ain't but one way,
yes, sir,
to have revival.
Amen.
And that's God's way.
Amen.
You can do it. You can substitute it. You can do whatever you want to. But you'll never have revival if the Holy Spirit of God does not pour out on this place. We see, first of all, it's going to require faithfulness. And when I talk about faithfulness, I'm not talking about three services a week. Amen. I'm talking about prayer time. I'm talking about Bible reading time. I'm talking about visitation time. I'm talking about coming. Maybe sometimes you just need to come by here and change a light bulb. Amen. You come into the service and you say, can I tell you that there's so many ways to be faithful to the house of God. But we see here now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled together with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. Can I tell you right here, the child of God, the worst thing that you can do is when you're hurting is try to hide it. Amen.
Yes,
these people wasn't trying to hide it. They had done covered themselves in sackcloth and ashes, and everybody that looked upon them knew that they were hurting. Amen. And they were found on the first day of the month. The people called for the reading of the law of God. They had a desire to know know the word. Amen. A genuine revival will not come apart from faithfulness. It'll require genuine commitment, and it'll require faithfulness on our part. Just a few short prayers ain't going to do it. Amen. As I begin to think about it, just one or two services a week ain't going to do it. Amen. If this is all, if all you're getting is what Brother BJ can give you, you are starving to death. I know he's a great preacher. I sat under him for several years. He does a fantastic job, but he can't compare to the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And you ain't got to be in this place to be in the presence of God Almighty. As I begin to think about this, we need faithful people. I remember several years ago, I'm going to share this. You want to go into revival? Start praising God for what He's done. Amen. As I began to think about this fasting that it's talking about right here, if you'll go back and when Jesus was teaching in Matthew, I think, Matthew chapter 17, maybe verse 21. And he was the disciples had come back. And one of the men asked him, said, why are these not subject to them? And Jesus said, some of these things happen only by praying and fasting. Amen. He's not talking about casting out demons. He's not talking about moving the mountains. Friend, your faith cannot reach a level without fasting. Amen. I want you to know that that'll increase the level of your faith. Amen. And then we have repentance. Oh, boy. Oh, preacher, I'm in a Baptist church. I'm being talked about repentance. Oh, my goodness. The attire of the people, it reveals an attitude of brokenness and sorrow over sin. There's two people in this room tonight that don't know what an impact they had on my family. But I remember one night I called them. I asked them to come to our house and pray with us. We was broken, amen. The reason I ain't going to call their name tonight because we don't give each other glory. We give it to God. But they came and they prayed with us that night, and I knelt down in my living room floor, and I promise you, on the authority of God's word, He hears the cries of His people. Amen. As I sat there that night on my knees, I couldn't even pray for the needs of my family. I was so broken, Brother BJ, but I want you to know from that night on, I have seen God do miraculous things in my family. I've seen God do things that I tried my very best to do. I couldn't get it done, but God done it. Amen. I want you to know I've got 7 beautiful grandchildren. I want you to know that God is doing great things, and He ain't done yet, but we see right here the attire of the people. It represents a brokenness. Revival will never come without a genuine attitude of repentance. And I fear that repentance is becoming obsolete. We have become more accustomed and too complacent with sin. I want to share this with you. I think I'm getting ahead of myself. I am getting ahead. I want to go back. Let me go back right here. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I wasn't getting much ahead of myself. Look at verse 2. Now, you're not going to like this. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers. The people of God ain't got no business mingling with the world. If that's your break table at work, they cussing and laughing and talking about cheating, you ain't got no business, sir. I want to share with y'all what happened to me. Just this week. Just this week. I got up Friday morning. Brother BJ contacted me on November the 10th and asked me to preach January 26th. Man, I was so fired up. I couldn't wait to get here. I got up Friday morning, and I was in a spiritual battle. When I got up Friday morning, Satan reminded me just how unworthy I am to be here preaching the word. And I battled all day Friday. I got up Saturday morning. I was still in the same battle. And I went in the break room. I went into our break room. Amen, Brother David. I had a great piece of cake, didn't I? And a good hot black cup of coffee. And I sat there and I picked that old cell phone up. And I want you to know that there's some things that can be a great tool, but they a terrible master. Amen. I picked that old cell phone up and I was fixing to look on Facebook just to see what was going on. And I don't even need to know what's going on out there. Amen. But when I went to pick that up, I want you to know that instead of opening up Facebook, I opened up my Bible app. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, that I done that. And when I opened up that Bible app, he gave me a verse of Scripture. And I went in this morning, and the Lord allowed me to preach that. And I ain't going to go back here. But when I went this morning and I was able to preach that, can I tell you tonight that I know that I'm not worthy to be here? Can I tell you tonight that I know that I'm not worthy to preach the Word of God? But can I tell you tonight that through the blood of Jesus Christ, I've been justified, and now I have His authority on my life to do what He's called me to do. So now the devil cannot fight that. Amen. If you'll remember, Brother BJ told us one time, he preached one time, stake it down. Amen. I believe one of the most powerful messages that I ever preached was when I preached one night on landmarks. Amen. I want you to know they ought to be a landmark in your life. Where can I tell you that where you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? You've got to have it. But the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers. Revival demands separation. I know that we are here to be the salt and the light of the world, but we are not to mingle with them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Can I tell you tonight? Can I tell you tonight? A lot of times when, you know what? You know why we have so much church hopping?
Come on, preach that.
We do, don't we?
Right there,
they still do that,
yeah,
don't
they? Still
yeah.
Do that.
Yeah.
Preach.
You know why?
Preach.
You know why? Y'all have heard this. Well, we just had to go somewhere we could be fed.
Oh, yeah.
It ain't. If you ain't getting fed, you're getting the wrong grain.
Come on.
Amen. You ain't getting what you like is what your problem is. Amen. They'll say, well, I just wasn't getting fed over there. The reason you ain't getting fed, you're not preparing to receive. Can I tell you this? This is good, Brother Kevin. You listening? You know how you go in some days and you'll start working about 7 o'clock, I guess, and you'll work till about 11. You'll say, "I'm getting a little hungry." Now, I ain't talked to Brother Kevin about this. I'm just, about 11 o'clock, Brother J.D., he'll start getting hungry. Yes, so I think I'm just going to eat a pack of knobs today, and he'll get him a pack of knobs and a good cold Pepsi. He'll eat that pack of knobs and that Pepsi, and then he'll get up from there, and he'll go back, and he'll work the rest of the day. I ain't eating nothing but a pack of knobs and a Pepsi Cola. Ever happen? You can't do that spiritually.
No, sir. You'll be starved to death.
You'll starve to death. That's right, Brother BJ. You cannot do that spiritually. But you got to use up what you got before you can get more.
Right.
See, the reason God ain't blessing us is we ain't using our blessings. I believe that, Brother BJ. I believe that. So we see a separation. We must surround ourselves with the things of God if we're going to serve Him. And then the confession, verse 2. and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their father. Genuine repentance in verse 1 brought confession in verse 2. Not only was there a brokenness and awareness of sin, but they were willing to confess that sin before the Lord and seek forgiveness. We need to get to a place where we are aware of our sin, and we need to get to a place where we are broken over it. But that alone was not enough. As I began to think about it, I believe we got a lot of people in the church today. They're not sorry for their sin. They're sorry they got caught. They just hadn't got caught. See? Several years ago, Brother Ricky had a sin problem. I still got some sin in my life. I ain't perfect. Sometimes I pray, Lord, forgive me of my sins, known and not known. And sometimes sin is not doing the bad things. It's not doing the good things. James said, for a man to know to do good and not to do it, to him it's a sin. Several years ago, the Lord started calling me to preach. And I couldn't have revival in my life for nothing. Because I'm still doing life my way. But I want to tell you, when I started doing life His way, He has brought revival. And my Bible tells me that He's no respecter of persons. I called or texted my kids and told them I was going to be here tonight. My little grandson, he's not feeling well. I don't know about them other five. They're not here tonight, but I was really hoping they would get to come with me tonight. Because see, most of you, not all of you, but most of you, remember how broken my family was. How hurt we were. And we just remained faithful. And I started teaching my kids something through that. I usually don't ask for a show of hands, but I'm going to ask for one right now. How many of you in here tonight want the blessings of the Father? Amen. You got to do it the Father's way. My kids are the greatest blessing to me in my entire life.
Yes, sir.
Always have been. Always will be. Are they perfect? Absolutely not. My Father loves me unconditionally. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. I know what it takes to live in revival. See, it's one thing to come here and have revival for one service a week or five services this week, I think, was it? Monday through Friday. But what about when we get out there? See, we can't, if we're just doing it in here, it ain't working. It's got to be your whole life. In verses 2 and 3, we see the humility of the people. Can I tell you, you're not going to come to this altar proud. If you do, you're going to be rejected. In both of these verses, verse 2 and 3, we find people standing before the Lord. This was not an act of arrogance or an attempt to receive recognition. They stood in humbleness and fear of the Lord. They sought to honor him, and they stood in awe of his presence. This is why I often desire for people to stand as we read the word. I thought about the act of standing doesn't provide anything special, but it reveals the attitude of the heart. Can I tell you tonight that God knows your heart? He knows how serious you are. He knows how unserious. I guess that's a word, ain't it, brother? Let me ask my English scholar here. That's a word, ain't it? Amen. Amen. But he knows your intent. And you can't come before him proud. I wouldn't have took nothing for that song service tonight. I'll just be honest. I'm talking about they stood up there and sung songs that I can look back and I can see every chapter of my life in that song service tonight. Every chapter of my life. So we see you've got to be humble. Look at verse 3. I love this. Read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. We come in a lot of times, we get into church, the word of God is being presented, the power of God shows up, and people start complaining because we're not getting out by 12 o'clock. They should be a premium placed on the Word of God. It should be the very focus of our services. God's Word should be preeminent among us. There is a personal aspect that we must consider. Amen. I want you to know tonight, I've heard people say, I just can't memorize Scripture. Amen. Now, I do have problems, Brother BJ. I have problems memorizing where it's at, but I know what it says. Amen. I can't tell you tonight what day I got saved on. I can't tell you the date that I got saved. I can tell you it was on a Wednesday night. Amen. But because I've never forgot it. I want you to know that. When something changes you that drastically, you will never forget it. And as I began to think about this, 1/4 part of the day. We today, God's Word needs to be at the forefront. If you go back to 2 Kings, and I think it's probably going to be around chapter 22, Brother BJ, I don't know. Hilkiah was a king, I think. And Shepham was the high priest, and he went to Hilkiah, and he said, I have found the book of the law in the house of God. Can I ask you a question? Why are you having a hunt? You know, when you hunt, you find. Amen? So if a man tells me he found, I presume that he's been hunting. Amen? Yes, so he says, I went into the house of God and I found the Word. Why is the Word not out front? Amen? Why is the Word not being lifted up? Why is the Word not preeminent in our services? You want revival? Get in the Word. Amen. Don't wait on Brother BJ. You know what? Brother Brad, let me tell you something. When you go beyond your workplace and somebody starts talking to you about the Scripture, don't say my preacher said. And if you do, make sure your preacher said it. Now I'm going to give you something else, Brother. You want it? You want it? I found out one time that some of the stuff my grandma said, it says in the Scripture, ain't in the Scripture. I believe the Word says to study, to show thyself approved. Not to prove somebody else, to prove you. Get in the Word. It's going to take the Word. If you're ever going to have peace in your life, you've got, Brother Jerry Norris gave me this advice several years ago on the old porch over there. He said, Brother Ricky, I said, yes, sir. He said, I found out it's almost impossible to worry about something and pray about it at the same time. Whew. Man, what advice. What advice. Somebody comes to me complaining about something, first thing I say, have you prayed about it? Have you, I can't get the word out. Have you took it? I see it. He used it, didn't he? He used it. A chance to see what the word says. One of the greatest men of God I've ever been around in my life. Some of you, I ain't going to call his name. Amen. Yeah, well, Brother Robert Campbell. Some of you might know him. Brother Robert Campbell, I called him one time. I was a young servant. I was an old Christian, but a young servant. Not every Christian's a servant. Now, you add that up when you get home, okay? If you need a long division, ask your mama to help you with it. But I went to this man's house. I had a question asked to me, and I didn't know the answer. And I went to this man's house, and I knocked on the door. And he come to the door, and he said, hey, Brother Ricky, how you doing? I said, Brother Robert, I'm doing pretty good. I said, how you doing? He said, I'm doing okay. I said, well, I got a question for you. He said, okay, what you got? And I told him. I said, what's your opinion? He said, my opinion don't matter. He said, come on in here and let's get the Word of God and let's see what it says. I'm going to tell you, that man really, really made an impact in my life. So we see here in verse 3, and another fourth part of the day, they confessed they were in submission. I think Brother BJ preached a message one time. We don't need a bunch of committed people, we need a bunch of submitted people. As we consider these verses, we'll discover there was a lot of confession among the people. That's directly related to their time spent in the Word. Can I tell you tonight, that's why people don't want to read the Word. It'll change you. I love what James said. And I'm going to give you a reference, okay? James said, it's like a mirror. That's what he said about the Word of God. Now, I know, looking at most of you in here, you walked by a mirror before you came. And every time you look in that mirror, you see something that you want to change. It may not be nothing but a hair hanging off the edge of your beard. It may not be nothing but that left side part needs straightening up just a little bit. That eye makeup may have got down just a little lower, and you're going to fix it before you go out. Can I tell you, you get in that Word, and you're going to start seeing things in your life that you need to change if you want revival. And if you don't change them, revival will never come. You've got to line up with the Word. Of revival. So we see the submission, and my last point, this is what's going to take place when you get all these ingredients in. I shared this about them meatballs and spaghetti. I'm going to share something else. I've actually made them three times. First time they wasn't no good. The second time, they were fantastic. The third time, they was okay. See, I've done something a little different. Mama said on her recipe to put your meat in a bowl, crumble your crackers up, put them in there, your onions. We'll put an egg up and pour it over in there. And she had a certain order for you to do those things in. And if you don't do them in order, It's completely different come out. I don't understand it. I got the same ingredients, but a different taste. See, their children here, the children of Israel here, they had it figured out. Let me go back. I want to give you the ingredients again, okay? You ready? First of all, faithfulness. Then fasting. Then repentance. Then separation. Confession. Humility. The scripture. Submission. And then worship. See, I didn't give you worship yet. You can't do worship till you get all these other ingredients in there. And there's a lot of people today that come in. See, our worship service is at the beginning. We stand up, we lift holy hands, we sing the songs, and we're not even preparing for worship. You can't wait till you get here to prepare for worship. They didn't wait. They prepared as the day, the month went on. In verse 3, the very last part, they worshiped the Lord their God. This wonderful experience ended in worship of the Lord. The people had confessed their sins. They humbled themselves before the Lord. They submitted to His will. But this brought about an attitude of worship. They were experiencing God in a new way and an entirely different level than ever before. Can I tell you tonight that I have experienced so many things in my life. I just didn't see any way that it was possible. One of my oldest friends, Randy Comer, is here tonight. Randy said when he seen my name that I was going to be preaching, he said, I knew I had to be here. I said, you can't believe it, can you? He said, I can't. Rex Lacey, I was at the funeral home the other day. I had on a jacket, I had on a tie, and I had on my blue jeans and my cowboy boots. Rex walked up and he said, you fixing to preach? I said, not today, but I am Sunday. He said, what? I said, Rex, you wouldn't believe since I submitted to the Word of God and started allowing the Lord to have me, He has changed everything. Friend, I want you to know, there ain't nobody in this building that wants to see you have revival any more than your pastor. He can't do it for you. I know he's a great man of God. I've been around him. I was around him before he ever became our pastor here. And I know he knows something about fasting. Can I share that story? First time we went to hear Brother B.J. preach, I won't never forget it. I can't remember where we was at. I can remember what he preached out of. He preached out of the Psalms. Yeah. And we was going to eat. Somebody told us, man, they got this buffet. Said they got it. If you can fry it, they got it. I said, well, let's go. So we loaded up, and we went over there, and me and Brother B.J. got in that line together, and they had fried chicken, they had fried catfish, they had fried pork chops, and yes. And this man walked by that fried chicken, and he walked by that fried catfish, and he walked by them fried pork chops, and I thought, is this man a Baptist or not? And he got to them green beans, And he got him some green beans, and we got over there to sit down, and he started putting ketchup on them. And I said, "Brother, ketchup on green beans?" He said, "I got to have something with some flavor." That's all he said. Several months later, can I tell you? We was talking about that one day. Brother BJ said, "I couldn't tell y'all, but I was on a fast from fried food." He didn't tell me the day that he was on it, but he told me after it was over. And then he started sharing with me what God done for him during that fast. It's amazing. I give you some good points tonight. Not because of who I am. Do you know they weren't preacher? I know. Based on the authority of God's word, that they weren't. Would you stand with me tonight?